Yeah.
Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
It's all over.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We've been away for a minute, and we apologize for that, but we are back. We were recovering from the money that we lost betting on CM Punk.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. I thought it was a nice showing. He made a nice speech after his fight. It's a nice showing. It's a nice showing.
It was a nice showing. That's what happens when you spend all your time training striking and forget about jiu-jitsu.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. Hey, he got to do it. If you want to be pissed at somebody, be pissed at the UFC. I don't know if you're...
Oh, I'm not pissed at anybody.
Well, a lot of people are pissed at him, but I posted this last week. If he had a dollar for every hater... Oh, wait, he probably does.
He probably does.
He made a $500,000 of disclosed dollars.
Yeah, right, and what was that, 10 times what Mickey Gall made? 20 times what Mickey Gall
Mickey
made?
Mickey made 40, didn't he, or something like that? I don't know.
So, yeah, close to 10, a little bit over 10 times.
That's why Mickey was really hoping CM Punk wouldn't make weight, because he'd grab 20% of that purse.
Yes.
$100,000's a nice check. So. Anyhow, we're going to move along?
Yeah, we can move along.
We're going to move along? I totally forgot Stipe won that night, by the way. Good for him. That was a weird night.
That was a very weird night.
That was a weird night, and we have no more heavyweight contenders, because we don't want to see any of them fight anymore.
Let's
retire the belt.
Yeah.
Good job, Stipe.
It was just a very weird, it was a very weird night of, I don't know on what planet I would have thought Alistair Overeem gets a choke sunk in and forgets how to finish it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Which Alistair do we see? Oh, we saw running away Alistair, which I don't think we've ever seen before. So that was interesting.
Well, we got both Alistairs. I got your neck, Alistair, and then
I'm going to jog around,
I'm
Alistair.
I'm going to cut some weight while we're doing this.
Fair enough.
And then also last weekend we had UFC Fight Night in Hidalgo, which was Michael Johnson starching Dustin Poirier in under a round, which was very impressive to get Michael Johnson back on the winning streak and derail a bit of Dustin Poirier, which essentially catches us up to where we are this weekend, which is a very weird event in Brazil.
Now, this is kind of weird, too. Just as of the taping, Chris Cyborg has made weight. Well, I guess perpetually she's made weight at this point.
She doesn't have to check again. Right. So it's done.
There was a lot of weird rumors over the week that they wouldn't give her the 1 pound allowance. Now, I guess I've never paid that much attention to what happens when they're in Brazil. I just assume a lot of stabbings and things happen. And then, whatever. Whoever gets paid off or whatever happens down in Brazil. So I was really interested in this story this week because there were a lot of rumors that Brazil wasn't going to give her the 1 pound allowance and that they would have to have the UFC officials give them the okay to give the 1 pound allowance. So has that always been the case in Brazil that they haven't given a pound allowance outside of championship fights?
I don't know the answer to that question, but all along I was asking myself the same question because it's not a title fight because as far as I know, there is not this hidden secret UFC 140 female belt.
Well, we know it's not. Yeah, we know it's not a title fight.
So who cares? So she should get the pound. I don't know.
Maybe because it's a catch weight. It's not a division. I don't know. But they gave her the pound and she weighed in at 141.
She did weigh in at 141, taking on Lena Landsberg, who is 6-1 and about 6 inches shorter than Cyborg. I don't think this goes longer than 2 minutes.
I think her face is like 6 inches, less wide,
this is,
too.
This
looks scary.
This is going to be a scary fight. Cyborg just looks frightening right now. And if she can keep this weight under control and continue to have fights at 140.
But does 140 get her where she wants to be, which is obviously a championship fight or a Ronda Rousey fight? Or does Rousey have to come up now? And we'll tie this together in just a minute. Does Rousey have to come up because she's not the champ anymore? Because that was always that was my biggest problem with all of the time Cyborg called out Ronda Rousey. Ronda had a belt, so you have to go to her to get the belt.
Sure.
It's essentially what you have to do. And this was obviously pre-Conor McGregor flying around all the weight classes, apparently allowed to challenge for any of the belts and all the belts all the time.
Yes.
So that was my big sticking point is, hey, Ronda's got the title. That's where you fight if you want to fight the champ. Ronda doesn't have the title anymore. Now, what we're hearing, do you want to break down the fight night a little bit? Like, is there anything but
break it down? No,
is there anything but a Cyborg win coming out of this weekend?
The Cyborg's going to win. I think the only two other interesting things to speak about is Roy Nelson saying that they should be 3-minute rounds versus 5-minute rounds specifically for heavyweights because that would make it more exciting, which I don't I don't necessarily disagree with. It's sort of like his thinking. He is taking on Bigfoot Silva, which should be a fun fight on Fox Sports
1. Want to do 5 3-minute rounds then for regular heavyweight fights? Or does he just want 3-minute rounds?
I think he just wants 3-minute rounds.
I feel like he just doesn't want to do the road work. So.
And then the only other interesting thing is, remember when Henan Barão was a champion? I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, man, it's
like, what is going
remember
on?
Remember not only when Henan Barão was champion, but nobody in the world was ever going to beat him.
Right, and now he's, you know, he's co-main eventing on this fight card, but Nogueira, I just don't know that anyone knows who that guy is, mm-hmm. even though he's 11-6-1.
Which is always a dangerous fight if you're a guy like Henan Barão, because you've got guy who's in there with a lot of wins. I mean, this isn't somebody who's been set up for you, and it's interesting because going into that TJ Dillashaw fight a couple years back, again, he was 32-1, and there was that yes. one weird ass loss that was literally the first fight of his career, and nobody thought the guy would ever be beaten, and TJ Dillashaw went in there and beat him for the bantamweight championship, and now we've seen that kind of bounce around a little bit at this point, so it's going to be really interesting to kind of see where Henan Barão is. He's on a 2-fight losing streak at this point.
He is, yes. I don't know where he ends up, but he's fighting this weekend, I think it'll be a quick night. I know I'm jinxing you guys. I think Fox Sports 1 will have a quick night with most of this stuff.
This is Fox Sports 1?
It is.
This isn't Fight Pass?
That's what
people
I think
would
is
probably
really interesting
ask for refunds
about
if this were Fight Pass.
We talked about this in July. It just seems like...
You can't figure out where these cards are landing.
Well, not only where these cards are landing, but there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 13. There are 15 more events before the end of the year.
Wow. What's after this? Is this Bisping Henderson's next?
So after this is Fight Night 96, where we go to Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
And that's...
Why the hell are we in Portland if Chael Sonnen's not in the UFC anymore? Which we'll also get to in
we'll
moments.
We'll get to that in a second. But so you've got Lineker and Dodson, which is going to be awesome. Will Brooks in his second fight in the UFC against Alex Oliveira. And Smolka is looking for a fight because Sergio Pettis is injured and off of that card. That's 96. And then
it's Fight Night 96.
That's Fight Night 96, October 1. October,
do we even number these anymore?
October 8. So 7 days later, we're in Manchester for Bisping Henderson.
Exciting.
2, Vitor Belfort and Gegard Mousasi, OSP and Manoa, Brad Pickett and Ariel Alcantara is on that card. So that's a fun card. And then we go from that to...
We've got a fight night in Asia. And then we've got an Ultimate Fighter Latin America.
We got that.
And then 205.
That 205.
The mysterious 205 is coming up.
Which we'll get to in a second. Then
there's a lot to get to here.
Then in the next 7 days, you get Fight Night 98 and 99 at the same time on the same day.
Oh, November are we doing 19th. That again?
One in Northern Ireland.
No, wait. Now, that's 99 and 100, right?
98 and 99 are November 19th in Northern Ireland and Brazil. Then 100 is November 27th in Australia, mate. Then you get the...
Okay, wait, I'm on Wikipedia now. I caught up with you. This says this does not have the same numbering scheme that you've got.
Well, I
believe you.
Okay, you should believe me because I'm not on Wikipedia. I'm on an actual...
Okay, wait. Okay, where are you? Where are you?
I'm on MMA Weekly.
Okay, I trust those guys, but you never know what's going
December
on.
So December breaks down as the Ultimate Fighter finale with Benavidez and Cejudo. Then Ultimate Fight Night 101 in Albany.
Oh, that's the one that's Fight Night 98. Their numbering scheme's off. They've always called those fight nights, those finale nights. So there you go.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Because there's somebody at home right now like really pissed that we've got 98 through 99 wrong. No, guys! Nelson is 99.
206
sitting there with his Kim Nelson t-shirt.
December 10th. 207 is December 30th. And you've got Fox, UFC on Fox 22 in Sacramento on December 17th, which will likely, if I was the betting man, likely be Uriah Faber's last fight in the UFC.
Okay. And not only do we have all of these events left, and we got the mysterious 205, which is in New York, which has come together and fallen apart like 3 or 4 times this week. But
you've probably also, this morning.
Again, we had a lot happen yesterday, though, too, because apparently there's a drop dead window on negotiations, which I never knew about for an event that's coming up. They got super pissed at Eddie Alvarez for asking for more money, allegedly, for the Conor McGregor fight and said, nope, sorry, the window's closed. Like what? You got Brock Lesnar in here in like 3 weeks last time. My window's closed to negotiate. So that's now being rumored for 206, which is a big card. It's at the Air Canada Center. I believe it's their first time at the ACC. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's their first time there. That's a big card. That's Canada. Basically, Toronto's not the capital, but Toronto's the biggest city in Canada.
Sure.
And then at the end of the year, they're back in the T-Mobile Arena, which, again, unlike the MGM Grand or the Mandalay Bay, that's the biggest arena in Vegas. That's a harder arena to fill at this point. That's got thousands and thousands of seats that were never there for the MGM Grand or the Mandalay Bay shows.
And that is the rumor for the DC Rumble fight, right?
That's what a lot of people are saying because everybody's wondering what we're waiting on for DC Rumble because both the guys are healthy.
Yep.
And the last fight for DC was July, obviously, at UFC 200. Rumble's fight, when did he fight most recently?
Fought on that same card, didn't he?
I'm not 100% sure. He hasn't fought in a while. So, I mean, those are ostensibly the guys you would expect to kind of maybe be plugged. I still have a feeling those guys might be plugged into New York, even though we've heard rumors to the contrary. Because what else do you do in New York at this point? Why don't we move now that we've kind of looked at all these events here that are following UFC?
He was at 202.
Cyborg Landsberg.
He was at 202 and he starched Glover Teixeira.
That's right. Yeah, he was barely in there, it felt like.
Right. 1 minute.
Yeah, 1 minute. So, yeah, that's why. Sorry, guys. I forgot that 60 seconds. So did Glover.
And his tooth.
Exactly. So, and UFC 202, that was back in the middle of August, right?
Yes.
August 20th or something like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it hard for him to fight again in November, which is what we're looking at now, November 12th. So what do we have going on right now with 205?
So UFC 205, they announced five fights this week. And as Ken will tell you, the real fights get announced on Tuesday.
Is it Tuesday?
That's what you said, the 27th, right?
27th. Yeah, I think the 27th is the date. They're actually going to have a big press conference for the release of the UFC 205 card. I mention that only because there's a lot of people on the internet bitching about the card that you're about to tell us because they think that's the card. That is not the card. As bad and as the UFC might have wanted a much bigger marquee title match than they are going to necessarily get here, this is not necessarily the card. These are some fights that will be part of the MSG event.
I promise you this is not the card, but it's Donald Cerrone, and he was
supposed, love Donald Cerrone.
He was supposed to fight Robbie Lawler, and Robbie said he needs to recover from getting annihilated by Tyron Woodley. So Kelvin Gastelum gets the call. I would have loved the Robbie Lawler fight. Please don't send me hate mail. I love this fight. I think this is great for Kelvin. And again, Donald Cerrone at 170 being a thing might be my second favorite thing behind Bisping holding a belt. The second fight announced was Frankie Edgar and Jeremy Stephens. You also have Rashad Evans making his debut at 185 pounds against Tim Kennedy as he returns to the UFC. Tim Bosch taking on Hoppy on the towel. And then in the women's strawweight division, you get Liz Carmouche going down to strawweight, taking on Caitlin Chookagian. Liz has not fought since April of 2015. So again, these are not the fights, guys. These are just fights to fill a card.
These are fights to fill a card. The other thing would have been cool. I know a lot of people are probably a little bit upset, but you said this after the Rory fight. You didn't want to see him fight for a while, and obviously he has been fighting. He's basically been on a six-month schedule, and he finally, after that Woodley fight, said, look, I need to sit down. I don't know if he's going to be back or not, but I think it's very smart at this point in his career to just sit down and decide, hey, I need more recovery time. I know that scheduling-wise this should work, but I don't want to be a part of this event at this point. So I think that's a very smart move on his part. Look, we got some really good fighters. We got Frankie Edgar. We've got Donald Cerrone in there. We've got Kelvin Gastelum in there, who I've become a big fan of. Tim Kennedy there. Rashad Evans, I'm excited to see him at 185. I've been looking forward to kind of seeing him come back. It's funny sometimes because you never want to see these guys in the cage when they're active. Like you just, oh God, this guy's fighting. I'm really curious to see what he looks like at 185. But this is not going to be the card for the event. So Weidman at 2, isn't he rumored to be on this card or not?
He's rumored to be on this card. Now, there are reports that it's been confirmed. It's supposed to be Weidman and Yoel Romero. That is not confirmed.
So maybe that'll be part of the card reveal on Tuesday.
The other one that is widely reported on Los Internets as being confirmed, but has not been confirmed by the UFC, is Woodley and Wonder Boy at 205.
Yeah, I saw that on our Facebook page, too, which, by the way, just pissed me off. Just give us the GSP fight. This is where it's become really interesting to kind of go to these negotiations.
GSP, though, we move that to 206, right?
You could, yeah.
Put that at the Air Canada Center?
Yeah, if you want to, but you could also put it at 205. I mean, he's that big a star. Like, of course, yeah, you want to put it at 206 if you can. I'm just, I like Wonder Boy. I think he deserves the shot. But, I mean, if you've got a former champion who wants the shot and he's coming back, you know, sometimes that trumps your number one contender because that's the guy who held the belt and left. And I still not very happy with that possible matchup considering what they seem to be passing up with the GSP fight. And it's interesting when you take that type of fight and you take the negotiations that seem to be involved with that type of fight and then you put it up next to something like the Eddie Alvarez fight or you put it up next to something like Tyrone Woodley saying he wants GSP as well. I'm really wondering here, like, is there somebody in the UFC that said, hey, we've got to be a hard ass on some of these decisions? Because why at this point would you knock anybody out of the negotiations for 205? Why would you even do that? Which is allegedly what happened this week to Eddie Alvarez for asking for more money to fight Conor McGregor.
Yeah, and then we compound that by Conor saying, you know, saying beg me on Twitter, Conor saying, sources around Conor saying his leg is fine, they're just trying to negotiate for Alvarez, Dana coming out and saying his leg is jacked, he'll be out for 6 months, and then the story that Eddie has missed his window of like negotiation.
It's November 12th. I mean, it's right? November 12th? Isn't that the 205 card?
Yes.
And a typical camp, 6 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Some guys go a little bit longer. I mean, we're still in September at this point.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, I guess I would assume, and in full disclosure, of all of the fighters I have run into or had run-ins with and met in person, like, I haven't really hung out and watched a title training camp. But my guess would be that Eddie Alvarez and his camp aren't dumb enough to not think that Conor McGregor is coming at some point. So it's not as if they haven't been doing anything since he won the belt.
Yeah.
Right?
Most guys aren't like Nick Diaz, where they're Nick and Nate, those dudes, like, run triathlons in their spare time, so right. It doesn't matter. So that's interesting too. The other thing that's kind of floating around now, and we've heard about as of this morning, is that Ronda Rousey may be returning before the end of the year. Now, that's coming from her trainer, everybody's favorite new UFC superstar, getting push kicked in the chest by Fabricio Werdum, Edmund Tarverdian. He's saying that she wants to return for a title shot by the end of the year. A title shot by the end of the year. What do you think about that?
Well, I will say two things. I will say that if Travis Brown's striking is any indication of Edmund's skill set. I don't know that I'm putting her against. I guess I would say this. I know that we have not gotten to see Amanda Nunes defend the belt yet.
Mm-hmm.
But Amanda Nunes, I mean, is not somebody that I would want to get in an octagon with after being on a nearly 2-year layoff, especially when you're knocked out by strikes, because that's what Amanda Nunes is going to do to you. So I would say, is it possible? I mean, everything's possible. She's been gone forever. Mm-hmm. But what would happen to her if she gets starched by Amanda Nunes?
That would be a tough situation. That would be a very tough situation for Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey hasn't fought in almost a year if she fights in November or December, right? Because November of last year when she actually lost the title. Because remember, we wanted to get her back in there by March.
Yes.
And then we wanted to get her back in there by 200. You know, she hasn't fought at this point, and it will be almost a year coming up in November. We talk a lot about ring rust. And if she's rusty on that striking that did not look good at all against Holly Holm, and she's lost that aura of fear. And Amanda Nunes wasn't anybody that was going to be afraid of anybody anyhow. She's going to be even less afraid at this point after watching that fight against Holly Holm. So you have to wonder, with that air of invincibility gone, we talked a little bit about this with Jon Jones, wondering if there'd be a little bit of an advantage for Daniel Cormier if that rematch ever happens, because he's the guy that's been in the cage with him before. Now, that isn't necessarily the case with Amanda Nunes, but in a related type of scenario, you've got Amanda Nunes going, oh, this isn't Ronda Rousey who's going to take everybody down and tear their arms off no matter what. Look what Holly Holm did to her. And I'm a badass. I beat the woman that beat Holly Holm. So, I mean, Nunes wasn't lacking in confidence going in anyhow. You have to imagine that a year off, the tape on the Holly Holm fight, and the fact that everybody thinks her coach is possibly certifiably insane at this point, you have to wonder what's going on there.
Well, I mean, I think it takes a special sort of trainer to teach your fighters to be able to lose a fight twice in one night. I think that's a special skill set to have.
Did you hear any of the Joe Rogan stuff talking about Edmund?
No.
Oh, he's not a fan. He's not.
Well, I mean,
not that there's a club out there, a fan club.
I think largely on, you know, when Travis Brown was fighting Verdum and essentially losing the bout, restarting the bout, and then losing it in a completely different way.
Oh, forgot about that. The timeouts.
You know, most of Twitter.
Give credit to the coach. Most coaches wouldn't coach a timeout into their fighter's fight. Give Edmund that credit.
You know, most of Twitter was saying, like, any fighter that gets with this guy, they're striking plummets in their skill set. And let's not forget that Travis Brown was one of those guys prior to getting with Tarverdian, was skirting the rules a little bit. He had figured out that clause in the elbows to the side of the head and was getting guys up against the fence and crushing their skulls in and winning these fights in dramatic fashion. And we were talking about, is he the next guy to threaten Cain for the title? And here we are where, I mean, fractures his finger in the first,
fractured?
You know, fixtures in the first minute of that fight, calls a timeout, so essentially loses the fight, somehow convinces the commission in Ohio, which is amazing, to restart the fight, and then loses it again. His striking looked horrific. And like I'm saying, could she be back at 207? Sure. Would she be a draw for a New Year's Eve card? Absolutely she would be. But Amanda Nunes, I think will steamroll. I don't care what Ronda Rousey shows up there. Everybody now knows, and I will give credit where credit is due. You pointed this out in the 45-second fight with...
I forget who you're talking about.
Who'd she beat in 45 seconds? Ronda Rousey beat... why can I not think of her name?
Oh, this was two fights before Holly Holm, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was Betch, wasn't it?
Yeah, Betch Kohea. You pointed that out in that 45 seconds that Betch got in there and cracked her three times till Ronda had to take her down and, you know, and finish the fight. We now know the blueprint to beat Ronda Rousey. You bullied the bully. And there, right now, I think in that division, there isn't a better bully than Amanda Nunes. She has done this her entire career, and I think she just gets in there and puts pressure on Ronda. And I don't, you can say it's the best Ronda we've ever seen, but I would argue.
Who said that?
Guess. Care to guess?
Is she even training?
I don't know.
Edmund saying she's training?
She's training. She's the best we've ever seen, and they haven't made a final decision yet.
Okay.
But if they get the title fight, likely they'll do this thing at 207. I think this is a bad matchup. And
not only is this the strategy that you've got now with beating Ronda Rousey, but I think the women in this division, now that Ronda Rousey took the loss to Holly Holm almost a year ago in November, I mean, that's been their strategy. That was Holly's strategy against Ronda Rousey. That was Misha's strategy against Holly Holm, essentially to pressure her. Now, she was having some tough time in that fight, but eventually she wins the fight there, Misha Tate. And then you have Amanda Nunes going, and she basically puts pressure on Misha Tate. That invincibility that was there at the top of the division is gone. And what this division looks like now is, for those of you that have been paying attention to either Invicta or the other fights that would be on the cards, which didn't always garner the same attention, you see a women's division at the top that looks almost exactly like the women's division underneath it now, which it hadn't for a long, long time because of Ronda Rousey's dominance. So what you've got is a situation where Ronda's going to walk back in after a year off. And does she walk into a title fight? Is that the best option for her? Because if I'm Ronda Rousey, don't you want to go in and beat Holly Holm? Isn't that what you want? I know fighters always want the title, but if you're off for a year, not that that's a tune-up fight by any means, but make sure you can go in there and do what you did. Hell, take a fight against Misha Tate again. I don't know. I don't feel like you want to walk into that championship fight if you're Ronda Rousey. And I don't know who else you fight at this point, because the problem is you basically cleared the division out before you got beaten by the number 10 girl. Because remember that. Holly Holm was number 10 in that division at that point, and she had essentially cleared everybody out all the way down the list. So what do you do at that point?
Well, and you've got Valentina at 3, Holly Holm is at 4, Ronda's at 2, Misha's at 1, and Amanda Nunes beat Valentina. Valentina has lost one other fight in her career. She's legit at bantamweight. I think you put Ronda Rousey and Misha Tate as your if you want her in the title fight, you put her against Misha Tate because
let her work things out against somebody she seems to have the number for.
Let her work something out with somebody that she seems to have figured out. You don't put her in there with Holly Holm because I think Holly Holm is like Chris Weidman. She just knows how to beat you. And if she beats her twice, dear Lord, what do you do with her?
Yeah, because I mean, Holly Holm's having a tough time as it is at this point. It doesn't look like other than Ronda Rousey, she's got a whole lot for that division at this point. So it'll be interesting to see because she just took the loss against Shevchenko.
Yeah.
And then obviously that was supposed to be the fight that put her back in the title contention. So, remember the title shot, Holly Holm, or the title win for Holly Holm? So now where is she in the division? You're right. That could be actually really bad for Ronda, too, because she fights Holly Holm and loses. Oh, my God. What are you doing with her at this point?
Well, I mean, and Valentina beat Sarah Kaufman. And as you just said, Holly Holm lost to Amanda Nunes, but that went to decision, if that tells you anything. So, I mean, if you put her against Valentina, I think that's bad. I just think while you were, not to be...
Well, Misha lost to Holly Holm. I'm sorry. Misha lost to Amanda Nunes after beating Holly Holm.
Correct. Yeah, I was talking about Valentina Shevchenko.
Sorry.
What you just talking about. But like while you were sleeping, the division evolved without you.
Mm-hmm.
And you now have 5 people in the top 5 that I think pose different issues for you. And I just am concerned given your reaction to your first loss,
which is to just disappear for a year,
just go hide in a cave. Is that other than Misha Tate, I'm not comfortable with any of the other 3 opportunities, which would be Valentina at 3, Holly Holm at 4, or Amanda for the belt. I think Tate's the fight, regardless of what you and your camp think. I don't know.
Well, I think what I would do here is look at this and make the comparison to Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods was very dominant for a very long time in golf, and nobody knew what to do with this guy. He's an athletic guy. His skill set is beyond anybody who's playing the game right now. And what you had is people that were starting to play the game when Tiger Woods was already in the game. And what you've got now is a lot of female fighters who were starting to fight, and Ronda Rousey was maybe their hero. But they saw what she could do. A lot of guys playing golf nowadays grew up watching what Tiger could do and go, oh, you can do that. You can score these type of scores and win things far and away and be this great a golfer. If I want to be a great golfer, that's what I got to do. Well, there's a lot of women in that division who watched Ronda Rousey for a long time ago. If I want to be a great fighter, I have to do this. And once you kind of had that sheen of invincibility knocked off Tiger Woods, and he had such a bad stretch and the whole thing with his wife and everything, and I'm not comparing those things other than mentally it seems similar to maybe how Ronda's reacting, where she just disappeared from the fight game. Her sheen of invincibility is gone. I mean, that wasn't a fluke loss to Holly Holm. That wasn't a quick sub, like, oh my God, somebody caught the judo master in a sub and she lost. That was a beating for a round and a half.
Uh-huh.
And that invincibility is gone. People know they can beat the crap out of Ronda Rousey and win a fight. And now that all these women who are, again, you use this term a lot, who are in this now shark tank of this UFC women's bantamweight division know that, I don't count Misha Tate out, who even Ronda has quote-unquote figured out. Misha Tate goes, okay, you know what? I knew somebody could do it. Now I can go do it. You can't count any of these fighters out at this point. Even some of the fighters I bet she's beat in the past have now seen this and go, okay, you know what? I was stupid. I rushed in. I did this. I did that. The one fighter I think who probably watched that fight and was like, son of a bitch.
Is Betch Cohera.
Betch Cohera.
Yep.
Yeah, because she's the one who's like, I knew it. I knew it. I was there almost. I knew it, but I lost in 45 seconds. Got knocked like 7 spots down the rankings.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and she, because she didn't keep the distance that Holly Holm did. Holly Holm just didn't, one of the things that this is part of the blueprint to beat her is one of the ways that Ronda beats you is by touching you. As soon as she grabs a hold of you, takes you down, game over, right? But if you keep her at bay and you're, caving her skull in with punches and kicks, it's hard for her to get a hold of you. And especially if you're doing, if you listen to a lot of the commentary, whatever you think of Joe Rogan's commentary, I think that some of his observations on striking and hiding the kicks with punches is what you need to do with somebody who can take you down. If you have a tell for those kicks, that's how wrestlers grab a hold of your leg and take you to the ground. But if they don't see it coming, that's how you knock, the judoka into next week, or I should say into the next 12 months to wherever wherever she's going to hide.
next year.
Yeah, literally next year. So, I mean, I am not confident that that's a good fight for her. I don't disagree with it, that Tate might even have the answer. I just think Tate's a better choice.
Yeah, I think Tate's a better choice. It'll be interesting to see. You're going to wonder, obviously, until, what, Monday or Tuesday when we have this press conference, because anytime Ronda's name has been brought up, I mean, she's one of those few fighters that's at that level where, hey, maybe, you know what, she can sell a New York card. So you got to imagine that that's going to be buzzing around,
oh,
too.
Oh, dear God.
No? You don't want to see her in New York?
I
think she'd be in trouble.
I think you put her in either of those cards with.
Yeah, but
Amanda.
What are you putting on? If she wants to come back, she's got to come back at some point. And is she going to get her ass kicked?
I think you put her on New Year's Eve. I don't know that.
Yeah, they don't have anybody in New York right now. I mean, we don't know. And this could all change in days.
And Eddie Alvarez.
You think that they're still doing that?
Yes.
You think this is all just like this?
This is all
smoke.
Like everything else that we've ever bumped into with these two guys.
Everything's just small. The only thing I would say to that is, except on occasion, they've actually gotten pissed enough at Connor to kick him off a card.
One time they did.
Yeah, but that was the biggest card ever, and they kicked him off it. Granted, they had the biggest ace in the hole with Brock Lesnar
sure.
sitting in their pocket. Hey, maybe he'll come back. Let's start that rumor.
For New York.
Why not? He's not when now
he's going to exact his revenge against Alistair Overeem.
Yeah, let's do that.
There we go.
Can you imagine Alistair? I know we don't need to get into this. I said this to you though, because we rarely get to watch the pay-per-views together. I said Brock would kick that guy's ass right now.
Yeah,
that guy's ass. He would have kicked Alistair's ass that night
for sure.
And let's have this fight in. Let's have like on a casino resort or an island in the Pacific where there's no USADA or anything. Let him do all the drugs.
You mean what we're calling the Chael Sonnen clause? Is that what we're calling?
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Chael served his time.
Yeah, and then ran to Bellator.
He signed with Bellator.
Where they have slightly less stringent rules.
They don't have less stringent rules. They still do testing.
Not like they do in the UFC. Let's remember that they killed Kimbo. Let's remember that.
Wow, here we go. They did not kill Kimbo directly.
Okay.
They almost killed that other dude directly.
They did almost kill that other dude.
Dada 5000.
Yep, that also happened.
But again, that had nothing to do with testing.
Or the lack thereof.
That's just their doctors, apparently.
Yes, just their doctors.
Remember that voodoo doctor, allegedly, the WWE had years ago?
Yes.
Like Mick Foley fell off a cage and he came out, I don't know if he came out with some sage or some crap.
That guy works in Bellator.
I don't know if that guy, allegedly.
Okay.
Allegedly. Let's remember that. So Chael Sonnen, you said it. Let's talk about it. He announced that he signed with Bellator. And he's waiting on a contract for former UFC light heavyweight champion Tito Ortiz for a November 19th fight. Bellator may have almost asked backwards their way into a bigger card when UFC's in New York the week before at this point. Because, look, I love this move for Chael. He wasn't going to play anywhere in the UFC. He wasn't. There were no fights for him in the UFC at this point. Maybe a Bisping fight in the future would have been kind of fun. But you would have had to have seen him where Bisping is now work his way back to that. And I find it very tough in that 185 division to see Chael working his way through. So he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to Bellator. I'm going to go fight in Bellator. Who's the biggest guy you got? You got one of the biggest stars in the history of MMA. Let me go fight that guy. I think this is a super smart move on Chael Sonnen's behalf. This actually makes me excited for Bellator card. And yes, we've got two guys who are well past their prime, probably. But we also have two guys who aren't, I hate to say it like this, but I think people will understand, they're not Ken Shamrock yet. Makes 100% yes. sense, doesn't cool. it, when yep. I say it like that. And I feel bad, but Ken Shamrock's spent. He's spent, he's done. These guys, well past their prime, they're not spent by any means. They haven't lost all their juice. Now, if you have me pick this fight straight up, I think Chael's going to win this fight.
Of course he is.
I mean, far and away. I mean, he's been more relevant more recently than Tito Ortiz.
If that's the sliding scale that we're going on, somebody's closer to Ken Shamrock than the other.
Okay,
and
yeah.
That guy is Tito Ortiz.
If that's what we want to use, yeah, definitely. So, are you excited for that fight? I think that's a fun fight for Bellator.
I think it's a fun fight. I really, my hope is that they have a plan, which has always been my problem with Bellator, is it's just like...
They just do random fights here and there.
We're just going to book this random thing, and then we're going to book this other random thing, and then where did Will Brooks go? Oh, because we forgot to sign him. Whatever. That's what that organization feels like.
This is your problem for paying too much attention to Bellator.
Yes.
I show up whenever something insane's happening, and I'm usually very satisfied. Like, oh, what the hell's going on here? They almost killed Dada 5000. Ken Shamrock, is he fighting? I don't know. Tito Ortiz is here. Ah, I look at it for, then I go away, Eric. I don't pay any more attention to Bellator ever. While you get really pissed about fighters.
I don't, no, no. I,
like I'm, not like, getting I, their due or like you, really, UFC should have, this guy's really mad. Been tearing it up in Bellator. Like, I'm just not there.
I just think one of the best fighters they had was Will Brooks, and they just let him like walk out the back door and go to the UFC.
You're probably 1,000,000% right, but I couldn't argue either way with you because I have no idea.
So I get,
because I didn't watch those fights.
All of
I just show up for the insanity. Like, you want to do Ortiz versus Chael Sonnen? I love it. I love it. Rory McDonald shows. Is he the one that wants to do like an old UFC style tournament? Didn't he challenge the whole division?
Yes.
He challenged like everybody. Well, that's awesome.
Because he wants to retire in a year. So he beats all the guys in the division.
He literally wants to do an old school Gracie style tournament.
Yes.
In Bellator. I'd show up for that insanity.
And I mean, if you're not.
That's how you have to consume Bellator.
If you have no oversight and no actual doctors, you can do a one night tournament like that.
See, that's, I mean, that's a problem with your consumption. That's not a problem with Bellator. You believe that Bellator should be real. I just like these fantasy land bookings where a guy might fight six guys in a night, or Tito Ortiz is still a thing. I mean, look at that. He's got a Mexican flag and an American flag. Look at that unity.
That is unity.
That's it, that right there.
That currently doesn't exist in the country right
that's
now.
That's right.
That currently
look
doesn't
at that.
Exist.
It's bringing the nations together.
I'm all in on this if Chael's next fight is Ken Shamrock.
See, me too. I don't even care. That's, like if that's what I look at Bellator as.
Like, if that's what we're doing, I'm all in. Like, my problem with the organization is that they've got this, and then when you ask them what's next, they have no idea.
They don't know either. They're just booking what they can. But remember how I think people, they've got the rosiest glasses you can buy on Amazon when they want to look back at Pride and those fighters and those amazing fights and how good those guys were. There was just as much insanity in Pride. Yeah, there were guys there like Fedor. Guys like Nogueira were there before they were in the UFC making their name. But there was just as much insanity with dudes like Bob Sapp fighting a Japanese guy who's 5'7" who might have whooped Bob Sapp's ass by kicking his knees out from under him for 10 minutes. There was just as much insanity. So, yeah, they had some great fighters in Pride, but they had a lot more of Bellator to them than people want to admit sometimes.
Yes, but I guess the difference there is that you have yet to see, in my opinion, you have yet to see in Bellator something that you can point at and go, that's Sakuraba Gracie, right? There hasn't been a fight where you're like, this is a fight for the ages out of Bellator because they only do.
Yeah, but you know what? We didn't look at Sakuraba Gracie like that when it happened, when it was booked. We looked at it afterwards. Hell, most people looked at it years afterwards like that. We just thought, oh man, they're the old ass Hoist Gracie's getting in there with this guy, this Japanese guy. I don't know who's going to win this fight, whatever. And then it was an instant classic. And then for every, remember, Gracie Sakuraba, you got Gracie Yoshida, where like people are hopping up. He was the first one to try to restart fights and call timeouts. And I was resting. I was lulling him in. So think about it. You had just as much insanity back in the day. It's about your consumption level. If you want to think Bellator's the best fighters in the world, you're going to have your feelings hurt. But if you want to go see Chael Sonnen whip a legend's ass, Bellator is for you.
All right.
So who's the best fighter in Bellator? Why don't you tell me right now?
I don't. Well,
okay. So
who's the best fighter right now
in Bellator? Yeah.
I don't have any idea.
No,
I
mean, idea.
It was Will Brooks.
The last ranking.
The best fighter in Bellator right now is Rory McDonald.
Is Rampage still there?
Sure.
So he's probably pretty high up too. That's
yeah, I'm
pretty
sure.
Awesome.
He and Bobby Lashley are number two and three.
Bobby
on my
Lashley,
list.
Good for him. So there you go. That's what we'll do. I'm looking at I don't know who any of these people are. Oh, Chuck Congo's in Bellator. That's pretty cool. Good for him. Are these rankings or are these alphabetical order? Muhammad Lawal, King Mo. He's in Bellator. He's got to be pretty good.
He's not a champion. Your champions are Javier Carvalho,
yeah, but I think
Michael
he also,
Chandler, Edward I think Dantes, has, Daniel Strauss.
Yeah, Liam. But I never know if those are real champions or if they won like
this
a,
is my point.
A weird tournament.
This is my point.
Well, like, this is my point,
so
though.
You and I
are making the same point.
So after Chael Sonnen beats Tito Ortiz, does he fight Liam McGarry?
No. Chael Sonnen is not fighting Liam McGarry. Chael Sonnen is not fighting anybody we haven't heard of. Like, he might fight King Mo.
That's the entire roster.
Okay, but
Bellator.
What do you do? We're just trying to get by 3 months at a time here.
The entire roster is people that you don't know.
Is Vanderlei still?
Is he fighting Stefan Bonner?
Is Vanderlei still in Bellator?
Yeah,
he signed with Bellator,
he's in Bellator,
right?
Is that finally going to happen?
We can do Chael Vanderlei.
Yeah, sure.
Have we ever done that before? I don't even remember at this point.
We tried.
I feel like we tried so much that it might have happened, but it probably didn't. Can't remember.
I mean, you have Phil Davis, mm-hmm. I guess you could do.
Sure.
I don't know.
Eric's just going through the list.
I don't know.
Good for him.
There is Hoist Gracie. He's still on the roster.
Is he still officially on the roster? Oh, let's take see. Let's
do that.
We've never done Vanderlei Chael. You've got a lot of fights. You could do King Mo. You could do Vanderlei at this point.
Koscheck's in there.
You've got some fighters.
There's a whole bunch of terrible fighters he could fight.
They should put Koscheck in a house.
They should.
As like the house master and like do their own version of the Ultimate Fighter. Have they tried that? Is that what the thing was with Randy Couture for a while? What was that thing
it
called?
It lasted even not even a whole season.
No, didn't last.
Matt Mitrione's there. They could fight.
See, I mean, we'll figure out other fights. Let's get to Tito Ortiz first and find out who the best in the world is in this particular fight.
Actually, here's the fun thing about this fight. I don't actually need to go through it to tell you the answer.
Chael Sonnen?
Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind.
And you're going to guess
for
what?
For the love of God, Liam McGeary beat Tito Ortiz.
You're going to be settling in down on your couch on November 19th, and you're going to watch the whole damn thing. I'm telling you that right now.
I will watch it for Chael Sonnen, not because I think that this is a great fight. I'm watching it because I like Chael Sonnen.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure that won't count then that you watched it.
Well, no. My point about it is not like I'm just dumping on the organization. My point is if you were to ask them right now, what are you going to do on Sunday morning when Chael beats Tito Ortiz? They will have zero idea what they're going to do with him.
Well, he has to get through that fight first.
Oh, for the love of God.
I guarantee.
I don't like to look past the opponent.
You don't want to look past the opponent.
I'm sure that's how Joe Silva does his job. I'm going to wait. Let me wait till Sunday morning to have any idea what
he does.
I'm
he said he does that. He waits for the fights to happen.
He has an idea of what he wants to have happen.
Okay. Are you saying the UFC's fixed now? Is that what we're saying? Okay.
Hot take.
All right.
That's what I'm doing.
Don't forget, you can watch Bellator, Dave and Buster's. Don't forget. That's what they got planned for Sunday is Chael Sonnen's Dave and Buster's shoot. Why won't
Wings,
they sponsor us?
Video games, probably because of that.
You can play Super Duper Pac-Man, and you can watch Bellator and eat frozen hamburgers. What else do you need? What else do you need at this point?
That is likely why we're not getting sponsored by Dave & Buster's.
What else do we have this week?
This segment of the program not brought to you by Dave & Buster's.
Is there anything else you want to run down here?
Not really. I mean, the only thing I will say, because it's just a bit of a I told you so, is that the first four fights in the Ultimate Fighter Tournament of Champions have been won by the underdog, so I'm still all in on the fact that none of these guys will beat Demetrius Johnson.
Okay, who's running odds on these things? Who's running odds on this thing?
Someone who does this for a living.
Like what?
Somebody who's more into Bellator than me, for sure.
My PSA to our listeners today, if any of you have bet on any of the Ultimate Fighter House of Champions fights, any dollar amount, please seek help today. Call Gamblers Anonymous now because you're a degenerate and you need help. If you're betting on Ultimate Fighter tiny weight matches. What officially is that weight class again?
125.
Yeah, I know it's 125. What do we call it? Forget what it's called. Is it straw for guys?
Flyweight.
Fly. Okay, again, there you go. Congratulations, you flyweights. Is that
That's not breaking news?
No, I don't know what's breaking news.
All right.
Are you disappointed Bourdain won't grapple with Joe Rogan?
No.
No. Okay.
No, I'm not.
Just trying to see if I can find something you're interested in.
He's a white belt, so that would be a bad idea.
No, he's a blue.
Oh.
He's a blue under Henzo now.
Still a bad idea.
He says he won't roll with Joe Rogan because it hurts.
Yes. Joe Rogan is like...
This is my favorite part. It says, he's a neck cranker, by the way, and he's got bowling balls for arms, no visible neck, and he only rolls with no gi. So, Joe Rogan and Anthony Bourdain, nothing in the future.
Not going to happen in Bellator.
What about Rogan and Tavarta Darian?
I would still take Rogan.
Yeah?
All day, day.
Because didn't he decide to, like, jump into the cage? I thought I saw some film of, like, him getting cornered by Ronda. I don't know if Travis Brown there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. You don't want any part of that?
I don't really know, nor do I really care. I still think Joe Rogan, who is teaching sidekicks to George St. Pierre, I got him over Edmund
you would take
Tarverdian
that?
All day,
fair
every
enough.
Day.
All right. That's the show. That's the show.
By Gogo Plata.
There you go. Gogo Plata.
All right. As always, follow along this weekend as Cyborg gets another win.
Follow Eric.
Follow me. I'll take care of that for you. And then we figure out what we do with Edson Barboza after this weekend.
Hopefully next week we got a big show right after the 205 real card announcement.
Real card announcement. Announcement.
That's what they should call it.
Yes. And we'll figure out what to do with Henan Barao, and we'll figure out if Roy Nelson gets his 3-minute rounds in the heavyweight division.
Oh, geez.
All of that will happen on WOW Show. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Way of the Warrior.